Hi, boys and girls, and all the made-up genders that I didn't name, that I refuse to name. For those of you that, I see that a lot of people have just been continuously chatting since we took our little breather, which is pretty amazing. Hi, I've gotten some good messages. The best time, if you ever want me to read a message, best time is like right after a stream. I just get to read it immediately because I'm still here, kind of like messing around. So this one dude just wrote me something pretty hilarious. Tommy, he's a bear. He wrote, "Hey Alan, first off, wanted to say you're the man. I'm a huge fan. I found you 2 days ago, and you're now one of my favorite people in the world. Things are moving pretty quick between me and Tommy, but this is really funny. I took a couple stand-up classes, and I really liked them. I have a joke I want to write, but I don't really know how to use it, but it was going to be about how I wanted to be a late-night host, but my name isn't James or Jimmy. So they probably won't let me in the late night game, but I wanted to do something about how they would never let me in a late night host because I wouldn't cry like Kimmel. I don't know. Anyway, if you can think of anything for it, you should absolutely take it because it's topical now and I wouldn't be able to really perform it anywhere. And if you think it's shitty, that's fine too. Much love. P.S. I'm going to try to make it to a Chicago show in March with a friend or two." So I wrote back to him, "This is hilarious. I'm going to talk about it on a live stream. I said, it's like, I want to be a comic. Great. How's your dramatic crying?" That could definitely be a sketch. I think that's really, really funny where it's like, because Jimmy Kimmel's such a just bitch at this point. He just tears up and acts serious almost every show. He's like, "I can't believe what I'm witnessing." And he's just, the sketch could be a comedian's auditioning for SNL or for something like that. And they're just like, and they just treat it as if they're auditioning for like Schindler's List. They're like, "Great, okay, this is what we need to see out of you. You have to cry really dramatically and be like really serious." So the scene is your dog just fell in a well and he can't get out and you love that dog. Go. And the guy's like, "No, I'm a comedian." They're like, "Just, this is what comedy is now." Oh, Malice is up. I'm gonna hit him in a second. Because I gotta read this other email I just got from Dove Bear. Not Dove. It's D-O-V is a bear in Hebrew, but it's not pronounced Dove. It's like Dove. This is why I just say shit. And this is why I always recommend you always just say what you think. Because course correction only happens when you say what you believe and then someone fills you in on another angle. And one of the reasons that the unbearables are so important right now in our lives is because it's an element of trust on the internet. And the internet is such the Wild West now that trust is very, very limited. When you see that little bear icon, you can assume that that person's coming from a place of constructive or positive or funny. And that's why, all right, so I'll just read you back to this. This is why just always say what you think, because you'd never grow or learn anything if you don't. I make mistakes all the time, and it's one of the things I'm the most proud of. All right, so hi, Owen. I've been watching your YouTube videos since you lost your representation, and I'm active on the Unbearables Discord as Dove Bear Bear. It's great to see the community that has popped up around you, that you're helping a lot of people maintain their values in this ridiculous time." Okay, that first sentence, I already now trust. Like, because he's in my community. You see what I'm saying? That's the importance of trust, because now when he says something to me, I don't assume it's an agenda or to manipulate me. That's why it's so important. That's why the bears are such a revelation, you know? In, at least in my life, and I'm sure a lot of your lives. All right, so so now he can course correct me. And I don't have to believe what he says totally, but new information helps you sharpen your sword. It helps you sharpen your shield. It helps you strengthen your views on the world. Okay, so he wrote, "Listening to your stream this morning made me want to clarify a few things about Jews. I'm really loving what you're doing, so please know that I have nothing but good intentions." By the way, I already assumed that because he's a bear. "I know this could easily be read so that it would be talking down to you or something similarly disrespectful, but I'm really not going for that. Please consider my bear credentials as Dove Bear Bear and know that I have immense respect for you and I'm seriously trying to help." Of course, that's totally my assumption at this point, by the way. You don't even have to write that. "You said multiple..." This, by the way, this is from earlier today's stream already. This is how quick course corrections can happen and how fascinating it is. All right, listen. "You said multiple times that Jews need to learn to take jokes better." I'm hilarious. "And that this is how Americans bond. I totally agree with laughing at yourself, your ethnicity, and whatever else about yourself. However, I think you're not considering the source of outrage about anti-Semitism. I've met certain liberal Jews who really do get upset about Jewish jokes, but they're a tiny minority. The people who get upset are leftists who want to take advantage of Jews, while those same leftists are anti-Israel, anti-Judaism, and pro-Islam. The folks who get mad about anti-Semitic jokes are overwhelmingly not Jews. True. That's why I did that tweet the other day that's why I can never be a racist, because the people I hate the most in the world are white leftists. Because most leftists are white, and they're the fucking worst. I'd take a brown non-leftist over a white leftist any day of the week, and if anyone doesn't see that, that's when racism can sink a population. All right, anyway. Even Jewish groups like the Anti-Defamation League and others who think everyone is anti-Semitic are not taken seriously by most Jews. Jews do not find Pepe to be anti-Semitic. Activist ideologues do. Think of the ADL as our Black Lives Matter, and then I think you'll understand how corrosive they have become. They've entirely lost the plot and aren't interacting with reality. Then, to worsen the situation, we see media like CNN make it seem like Nazis are running around and every youthful act of vandalism against Jewish property is done by right-wing militias. It's always just people using Jews to support their own narratives. At no point does the average Jew factor into this equation. And that's what makes me uncomfortable with the way you were talking about this. You were saying, here's what Jews need to understand. Again, I'm really funny. But Jews aren't the issue. Jews have the same leeches profiteering off alleged bigotry that blacks do in Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Don't hold Jews accountable for the scummy bureaucratic class that has arisen in supposed defense of us. Please try to entirely eliminate us entirely eliminate us pretty often, and any Jew who knows our history would know they'll never succeed. Actually, wiping us out is seen as such a colossal task that Islam believes the end of the world to include a battle between Muslims and Jews. They think 1.5 billion of them versus 15 million of us is the battle of all time. Man, I love this guy. That's a factor of, to the second power? Yeah. Third. Two zeros. Whatever that is. Two zeros. That's second. Yeah, whatever. Who cares? Anyway, thanks for reading this, and sorry it ended up so long. I'd love a response if you're able, but I totally understand if you don't have time. Thank you regardless. I wrote, this is genius. Can I read it on the stream? You wrote, absolutely. That'd be amazing. All right. I love that because it's true. Sometimes I can fall into the trap, just like everyone can fall into the trap, just like leftists fall in the trap of white people that were all Nazis. And, you know, because doing that Night of Freedom event with all those guys and seeing how many people are now calling me out alt-right is so infuriating. Like, they're trying to create this narrative that doesn't exist, and Jews fall victim to this just like anybody else does. And I know so many black people that despise Black Lives Matter, and all these Jewish people that despise this stupid narrative that's happening. So, yeah, he has a great point. I shouldn't have said, this is what Jews need to understand, that it is a minority of ideologues that probably are not even, they don't even participate in Judaism. Like, if you look at the Louis C.K.'s of the world and all these people, like, they're not even Jews, really. I mean, they're ethnically Jews, but I find so many, like, liberal Jews are the ones that are pushing the most stereotypes, where they're like, I get to say it, I'm a Jew, like, all that shit. I don't know. I just, I really love that. I love course corrections, and I love when people can kind of, like, help you understand something you don't fully understand, because there's no way the average person gets to know what it's like to live the life of other people. That's why I wrote that joke back in the day of a black guy says, you don't know what it's like to be black. And I say, you don't know what it's like not to know what it's like to be black. It's a never-ending maze. That's why identity politics is so corrosive and destructive, because it never stops. It's like you can just say, well, you don't know what it's like to be black and left-handed and a lesbian. It's like, well, you don't know what it's like to not know what it's like to be a black left-handed lesbian. And then you can never talk. And the only people that benefit from that are a very small group of people with a whole lot of power. And I think that Dove, I got to make sure I pronounce it right, Dove, is making a great point that, like, lumping in Jews, because that was originally my intent of defending Jews in this oddly anti-Semitic time that's kind of popped up out of nowhere. But in doing that, I lumped them in with a lot of ideologues, and I apologize for that. And anybody that can give me a course correction on any of my views, I am so thankful for them. And the Unbearables offer a sense of trust, and I really, really appreciate that. Okay, so I'm going to fix my Skype interview thing, because that says Jordan Peterson, which is not accurate. It is now. I'm just going to get rid of that. I'm going to call Malice, and we're going to have a good chat. Michael Malice, for those of you that don't know, is a very good friend of mine. He's awesome, awesome dude. He wrote a book called Dear Reader, because he's actually been to North Korea. And North Korea is in the news. Let me get up an image of his book. I highly recommend the book. He's just a phenomenal human being, too. Here it is. Dear Reader. And I'm going to... I'll just tell Malice all this stuff when he gets on. Let me call him. There we go. Yo, Malice.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
How are you, man? Did you just wake? You just woke up, huh?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already did a couple hours of live stream earlier in the morning where I just played music and stuff. And so now we're starting another one with just you, because I didn't want to have you come in like 2 hours deep. I wanted you to have your own vid.
Wait, so you actually make money doing this shit?
Dude, I get tipped like it's the world's biggest piano bar.
But, I mean, even for the interviews you get money?
Yeah, like right now we're streaming and people are going to potentially super chat questions if they want to. Yeah, it's just like tips. It's awesome.
I got to get on this shit then, huh?
I recommend it. It's like, okay. It's kind of, but I don't have ads at all. You know, it's hit or miss sometimes, but for me, it's just the consistency of it is what makes me not insane. Where it's like every morning at 9, I will be on here live streaming, and I didn't even know what super chats were until like 2 months ago. But
right.
that kind of gets around the shadow banning and the censorship. It's just consistency. Where if they don't see my tweet, they know I'll be here every morning at 9.
Wait, so they can hear me right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what's going on, peoples?
Oh, dude, someone already just asked a question. Hang on. We got a couple of super... Someone said, ask what he thinks about Lester Holt reporting on North Korea.
Well, that was the whole... that was your question, Owen.
I know, but someone super chatted it, so they get to ask it. That was from Barrel Bear.
Why are you getting this money? Honestly, that's my money. That's
bro, I'll give you money.
No, I'm kidding. No. All I want is nice
money. Dude, how about the other night, though, when... didn't you feel kind of safe and protected when we went out together and we thought Antifa would be outside? You had a big bear protecting you?
I thought it was very sweet when you asked me to intro you, actually.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. He's got a show on Compound Media called You're Welcome, but spelled in the way that is funny.
So Lester Holt, I mean, this is a whole long... Is that Jeffrey Genetis on your shelf behind you?
Which one's that?
All the way in the right? Am I reading that correctly? What's that right hand? Okay, never mind. It doesn't matter.
I can find it. Maybe. What's the title?
Middlesex? Is that Middlesex?
Let me take a look. Hang on one second. Let me get back to my normal page. All right, so tell me where I'm going here.
The right hand book. On the way to the right.
My right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Middlesex. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah.
Best selling author of Virgin. Yeah, boom.
You know what that's about?
I don't. This is my wife's. What's it about?
It's ironic that you have that, because that's a book about someone who breaks the gender binary.
Oh, really?
That's the title, yeah.
My wife bought it. I haven't read it. If I did, I'd probably burn it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of those are my wife's. Like, anything that just says, like, engineering on it, that's Amy's, because I don't have any engineering books.
So Lester Holt, like... I'll give you guys the long answer because I think this is important, and I hate when people say things are important, but this really is important. The whole reason I started my North Korea stuff is because the media was getting it so wrong so much of the time.
Yeah.
And I remember this must have been 10, 12 years ago. I was with a buddy of mine, British guy, and he had his British friends come, and they were talking about how they went to Cuba and how great it was, and everyone at the hotel was smiling at them. And they said, like, well, you know, they seem to be really having a good time. It's like, dude, they're hostages, you fucking idiot, and it's their job to make sure you have a good time. And if there's a problem, it's really a fucking problem. This is a very prestigious job, you stupid fucking putz.
Yeah.
So to have the press go there and be like, oh, you know, everything is like it is on the surface. And I mean, you'll even see a little bit of it here. If someone's coming from another country, you're not taking them to Rikers. You're not taking them to Detroit. You're going to take them to the White House and, you know, these nice places, and they're going to get a certain impression. So that's like 1/1,000,000,000% what the comparable is to North Korea. So it's really kind of I can't really, on the other hand, I'll cut him a little bit of slack, because if you are born in America and you lived here all your life, which I think he has, I haven't Googled him, you're going to have a very skewed view of what other countries are like. You're going to think, oh, they just eat different food from us and speak a different language, but we're all basically the same. And it's just not that fucking way.
No, and I can't believe he fell for it. It was like there were these people just skiing behind him, but weren't they all just planted there by a literal dictator and they're like slaves?
You know, when I went there, I went to the capital city and we went to the fun fair, or it's an amusement park, and they were there. That's there for the people. Like, but you have to be like, I'm sure if they were being filmed, they were there for, you know, propaganda purposes. They're probably part of the ski team or something to make sure that they ski well. And honestly, if your dictator is making you ski, there's worse punishments. You know what I mean? Like, hey, go to this park and have a nice walk. Like, they have that. They'll have actors when you go to the park. But at the same time, if you go to Aspen, Aspen is not representative of America. Vail is not representative of America, all right, Lester? So get that through your fucking head.
Lester Dolt. It's almost like the leftist propaganda machine of NBC like got bested by an even better propaganda machine.
It's not a good propaganda machine that they have, because everyone jumped on his throat, and including other members of the corporate press. So he got called to task pretty fucking quick.
That's
as
good.
Did Nicholas Kristof of the Times. You know, they were kind of like, dude, like, what the fuck are you doing? So I had a little part to play in this. I'll take my credit. I'll hurt my shoulder doing this all day. But if I move the needle a little bit to be like, guys, this isn't like some kind of carnival. This is a really bad place and it's not funny. That has started happening, and I'm really pleased I've taken apart that.
Yeah, I mean, you move my needle on certain aspects, because it's like one of the last things I'd ever really be accused of is being war hawkish. But you put me in a situation once where we're talking about North Korea, and I rarely am the one who says something and someone else reacts like, Jesus, dude. I was like, so we should just bomb them, right? And you're like, no. Because I know, and I remember just being like, oh, man, sorry, I'm a dick. It, like, because in my mind, you can just bomb the Supercuts guy, and that's it. But in reality, there's just, like, people in this weird psychological prison everywhere, and you would just end up killing all those people. And then what would happen then, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, you joke, but like his haircut, for example, like everything in North Korea, like when you go there, it's a dictatorship. So everything you see is there by design. It's not an accident, you know what I mean? And everything happens here, but like if you go to a store, you can figure out why there's, you know, four kinds of ice cream. It's because these are the popular flavors, right? There, it's like one person's basically decision, and it's hard to always figure out what they're doing. The haircut's a good example of this. That haircut's the same haircut his grandfather, the great leader Kim Il-sung, had when he founded the country. So very much it would almost be like, in a crazy way, if Trump started dressing like George Washington.
Right? And he just got wooden teeth.
Yeah, like rhino teeth, right? But it's the kind of thing where you're like, okay, he's trying to take – but they do that. Like, they'll invoke the founding fathers all the time. So that's what he's doing visually. He's being like, I'm – part of this pure tradition that goes back to the good old days.
Wow. Bear Potatoes asks, hey Owen, does Malice know if North Korea based their system on the Orwell's 1984?
It has not. North Korea based their system on a bunch of many things. Stalinism, feudalism, and some other, there's some Nazi-ish elements. I actually, when I was in North Korea, I got my guide to admit that she loved her big brother. She didn't get the joke, but I did. Orwell's 1984 was written, I think, in 1948, and North Korea started right after World War II, so it precedes Orwell.
Wow. What do you think we're facing right now in our country that would lead us down this road of democratic socialism? Because you're from the Soviet Union, and you've seen some real shit. Feel free to educate me, who hasn't actually seen the shit, but I can see the algorithm in place that could really take us down a dark road. What should we watch out for?
I think it's the exact opposite. I think the road we're on is a very, very positive one.
Good, good.
If, for example, in 1936, Ayn Rand, who was, like me, born in the Soviet Union, she escaped. She wrote a book called We the Living. And 1936, and editors told her, you don't understand Russia. You know, she escaped Leninism. And they were like, you don't fucking get it. Now no one is going to really be, I mean, there's a few people, but it's not like that at all. Especially with social media, like you don't have things like press censorship. You don't have things like people being put in prison for protesting the government. The NHS, excuse me, the NSA was a big step back because that's basically the KGB. But other than that, we are nowhere. For example, Harry Truman in the, I don't remember what year it was during his first, second term, there was the steel industry was on strike, right? And he said, well, if you guys don't resolve this, I'm going to seize the steel industry. Can you fucking imagine Bernie Sanders even saying, oh, you guys are striking? I'm just going to have the government take over all the factories. That would never happen now. So we are actually a long way from how bad it was. And this is like when I talk to people on the right, I try to make this point as much as possible. Like, yeah, they're going to be using Soviet tactics, but we're not going down that road. I think it's going quite the opposite direction.
Interesting. Yeah, you wrote, you told me I should read a book called Why the West Won't Fail or something. What was the book you recommended to me? It's about how Western culture isn't going to fail.
The idea of decline in Western history?
Yeah, well, I was spiraling one day on Twitter, and you recommended a book about the resilience of Western culture. I haven't read it yet because I forgot the title. But
I think that's what I'm – I don't know the book you mentioned, but The Idea of Decline in Western History. Arthur Herman was a guest on my show. Gavin recommended it first to me, which is weird because the book's the opposite of Gavin's thesis, Gavin McInges. And basically his point is, you know, every 20 years there's a new group that says we're all going to die, whether it's the Nazis or the environmentalists or the eugenicists or whatever. And there's a different reason why the world's ending, and it never quite pans out that way. And the point is things are actually getting better. If you look at life expectancy, wealth, like any real metric, things are getting significantly better. Look what poor people have in this country now as compared to 100 years ago. It's unconscionable. The idea that you're going to have hungry kids in this country, everyone's a little fat fuck.
Yeah, I know. Our biggest problem is being too fat, stuffing our fat fucking faces.
But well, not our biggest problem. Well, just because I'm on a bulk, Owen, is that what you're saying?
Just because what?
I'm on a bulk.
You're on the bulk?
I'm on a bulk, yeah. I'm trying to gain weight.
Well, you're pretty ripped.
No, not anymore. And now it's making me want to kill myself.
Okay, well, I mean, the metrics do say we are doing well, but why do people feel like everything's going to shit? What? And I know that, like, feelings aren't a metric, but, like, why do you think that our society is feeling like we're constantly being attacked?
I think because there is a lack of consensus throughout America any longer about certain basic issues.
Yeah.
And when any human being feels a lack of control in any context, that provokes an anxiety or depression response. So I think, you know, when we had, you know, especially with recent years where, like, even there's just a complete lack of consensus even on what's true and vocabulary to use. This is going to cause a lot of people to freak out because they don't know what's real anymore or what we can count on to happen in the future.
And what's the motivating force of that? Is it really just clicks? Is it just people wanting clicks, or is there some sort of nefarious thing happening?
What do you mean? What's the motivating force?
What's the motivating force behind taking down the coffee, the water cooler benchmarks of society? It almost seems systematic where it's like, all right, we're going to get rid of gender. We're going to make NFL a polarizing thing. We're going to make all this shit just so polarizing that you can't just talk about really anything without it signifying some political party you're in, and then that you're somehow.
The thing is, that was always the case, but now there's a response. Like, if this was 40 years ago, you would be over. You would be a janitor because you'd have how many networks? Now you said something, it maybe wouldn't be about transgender people, maybe just something else, and no one would ever hear from you again. You would have no representation, you'd have no mechanism for getting your voice out there, you'd be booked nowhere, no club would take you, and you would have to quit your job. And now you're doing pretty well by yourself, and it's the exact opposite situation. So I think what's changed is that you have an ability, you, I mean everyone, has an ability to respond as opposed to being able to be disappeared. And that's why I'm saying things are getting better.
Nice. Well, I would have handed out flyers. You can't keep me down, Malice. Amber asks, what would Michael's solution in North Korea be?
Anyone who says they've got a solution is lying, and here's why. Because if you look, and I talk about this at length in my book, they're very aware of this. If you look at Iraq, and if you look at Libya, if you look at Nazi Germany, Whenever these regimes go down, the people at the top are personally... I know Hitler killed himself, but the people at the top are personally murdered or put in jail, and with good reason. So if Kim Jong-un wanted to liberalize, someone would put a bullet in him, and with good reason. So he couldn't even loosen the restraints if he wanted to. So they're backed into a corner by... North Korea is such a prison that it's even a prison for those at the very top. Just because it's a nice prison, they're prisoners of the system that they've created. So there's no freedom anywhere in that country.
Yeah, I almost think it's the worst for the people on top. There's that concept of...
It's not the worst, I promise.
Not the worst, but in a sense. It's like the riding the dragon or whatever, riding the tiger. Yeah, it's like if you're riding the dragon, if you get off, the dragon eats you. And it's a form of slavery where, you know, even Caesar, if he had stopped conquering the Franks and stuff like that, he would have been, if he'd stopped being something of the plebs, the voice of the plebs or some like title, they could have prosecuted him and he would have went to prison. So he almost, right. It's just constant Ponzi schemes at that point where you have to keep going or you're dead. And, and I think that although it isn't worse in the material sense, where obviously the people that are in a gulag because of something their grandfather once said, like that obviously is worse, but I don't know what really is worse I don't know. It's like in the Gulag Archipelago, like Solzhenitsyn ended up getting his soul back by just letting go of everything. I think like spiritually being at the top of that awful scheme could be just absolute hell. And I think that guy is not having a good time.
And I didn't even realize it when I wrote the last chapter of my book. It was my buddy Phil who pointed out, he's like, wow, like even Kim Jong-il's a prisoner here. And like, you know, the story itself told that. And I didn't even put two together in my mind. I'm like, holy shit, you're right. So they're all prisoners there. And the fact that it's real is what makes the story so compelling and horrific.
Yeah, like when you speak honestly, which is what you do, people will see meaning in it that you didn't even intend just because you're reporting accurately. You know, it's kind of like how songs can stay for decades and become hyper truth is because if you're just speaking honestly, there will be other truths that come out of it that you didn't even intend. Like, and agendas are two dimensional, but truth is four dimensional. Someone just super chatted, I love Gavin McGinnis. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Bear.
Did he say McGinnis or McGingus?
He says McGingus.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, nice. Some of these are probably your guys. Ragnar says, does he know the way, brudda? LOL, meme magic.
I'm sorry. Is it 2 weeks ago?
me and Malice were joking about how his jokes are constructed like with a scalpel and like very meticulous, and my jokes are just a machete, like, fuck you! And his are just these like little... joke within a joke within a joke.
Finger traps. Japanese finger traps. Chinese finger traps. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, aha. He's like, you're like, he fell for the old preposition switch. And I'm like, you're a dickhead. It's just, but we're like friends because we almost like complete each other in that sense. It's like, I'll just hack our way through a jungle and you're just like making the art.
Yeah, so after we remake Twins, we're going to have to remake Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Dude, we got to do Twins.
That would be so fucking funny.
All right, Bear Potato says, do you think Kim will actually launch a nuke, or is this just posturing?
So we know he's not going to launch a nuke for this reason. I use this metaphor a lot. If there's two types of bank robbers. There's the guy who runs in the bank, shoots up the ceiling, and gets the loot. And there's the guy who runs in the bank, shoots up the people, and gets the loot. You want to deal with the first guy. He just wants money. He's not a crazy person.
Exactly.
Every missile that they fire is going into the ocean. They're not firing missiles at Seoul. They're not firing missiles at Japan. There's your exact answer.
Because I don't think he's crazy. Peterson has talked about that too, and so is a lot of people, that a lot of times these are rational decisions in their position. Like from our point of view.
It's more like my book.
Oh, sorry, buddy. Well, everyone I'm going to plug it again. Everyone get this book. Hang on, let me put it up again. Ba-boom, dear reader. Yeah. All right. It's great. All right, so I'll let you go in a second. All right, Oscar says, my first tip is a new bear. Thank you, Oscar. Mark, when will your word fall from Mount Piktu and bless us with another book?
Later this year, Piktu. Yeah, Mount Piktu is like the holy mountain of North Korea. I'm doing edits right now. I actually have a call-in with Christopher Cantwell. Later this afternoon.
Nice. What How much did Soviet Union suck?
Nowhere near as bad as... I mean, I left when I was 2. And when you're raised in a Soviet household, it fucks your head. And you don't realize how much it fucks you, how it fucks your head until you get older. But it was nowhere near as bad as North Korea.
How did your parents survive, like, after reading the Gulag Archipelago, how did your, like, family survive those years when, like, 1 in 3 people was a government informant? And, like, how do you not die? Like, how does everyone not just die?
I think one of the things that you're taught in a Soviet household is always to be paranoid and always to be on. So that's been kind of helpful, and it's also been kind of hurtful as an adult. I've tried to deprogram that a little bit. But you always, whenever you are talking to someone, you basically run a scan in your mind, being like, okay, if I tell this person this, what happens if they turn on me? And this is kind of this background program running in your head at all times.
Yeah, and you're also Jewish, so that's like a double program. It's a double, like, okay, when do we have to just get the hell out of here?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's... I was talking to a very smart Jewish friend of mine that was telling me about that fear, and I was like, it's almost like being the sober guy in a party where everyone just keeps getting drunker. And you just keep looking around, like, and people are like, I say we break a table! And you're sober, and you're like, I'm about to have to get the hell out of here. Where it's like, like, things just keep escalating around you with more and more just irrational actions, and you're like, all right, time to bail.
That is a great fucking metaphor.
Yeah, because it's like, because sometimes when you're smart and you're around dumb people, you feel like that. You feel like you're the only sober person, where someone can't understand a basic concept, because that happens to me with comedy constantly. When I'm doing like a fun metaphor play on words and people are like, that mean you hate black people. And I'm like, oh God, I just feel like I'm the only sober guy at a party. All right, so Professor Bear says, so Russ didn't end in starvation and genocide? Oh, because we have a theme on our that socialism always ends in starvation and genocide. So did it not end in starvation and genocide? How did the Soviet Union actually end up falling? I really don't fully understand it. I just
there's a book I can't recommend enough to everyone. It will make you cry, called Revolution 1989. It goes country by country as it fell, and it's one of the most beautiful things you can ever witness.
Really?
Yes.
Did we just outspend them, or was it an internal thing that had nothing to do with us?
It was Gorbachev. I mean, spoiler alert. So Poland has... I'll give you this at the beginning. So I don't... fine. Poland, it's not a spoiler. It's history.
You're acting very Soviet. You're very withholding with information.
No, I mean, I don't want to ruin this beautiful book.
I'm just kidding.
It's such a beautiful book. So basically, Poland had a big labor movement called Solidarity. And they were like, look, it fucking says we're supposed to have elections in the Constitution. Are we going to have elections or not? And the communists were like, all right, let's give them the elections, but, like, let's ask the people who they're going to vote for. And they polled the people. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to vote on the communists. They're like, all right. And they're like, fuck, if we win all the elections, it's going to look fake. So they have the elections anyway, and they lose every single one, right? The Labor Party wins every one with one exception. And they're like, holy shit, what do we do? And then they're like, is Gorbachev going to send in the tanks? And he said no. And it's like, wait a minute. Then country by country, they started fighting for democracy and freedom. And you had the crazy ones from like Eastern Europe and Romania calling Gorbachev saying, dude, you got to fucking send in the tanks. This is all collapsing. And he's like, I'm not sending in the tanks. And one by one, overnight, they all freed themselves.
Wow.
And it was like a miracle. And it's just like, it was this easy. And they're fucking blowing up his phone. It just goes month by month. It happens so quick. And he's like, I'm going to respect these countries' sovereignty. And it was like, holy shit. And the jig was up. It was this amazing, amazing story.
Isn't that kind of like the Achilles heel of communism and socialism and leftism? Is that, like, sometimes it just takes a little just... Like, I remember when you were on Joe Rogan and you asked that simple question... It's like, which basically said whether or not you're on the right or the left. What was the question? You said, are people different, or are people, some people better or worse at things?
Here's the litmus test to figure out if someone's left wing or right wing, even though the screen's kind of frozen on you right now. You ask them, do you think some people are better than others? If you're right wing, a right winger will answer yes. A left winger will start giving you a long speech.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. And I feel like the right wing now is simply not the left.
Yeah.
Because I mean, because you're an anarchist, and then there's conservatives, there's libertarians, there's just kind of normal Republicans, and that's all considered right wing. And the left,
I consider conservatives to be left wing.
Explain.
Because they are basically progressives driving the speed limit. Everything that conservatism has no real principles of their own. They're just basically aping what progressives were arguing for 20 years ago.
Give me examples.
Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Oh, right.
When's the last time you heard any conservative fight any of those? Civil Rights Act. These were all left-wing achievements, and they are just now they argue as if this is part and parcel of American history that's immutable. Immigration. They are on every issue. They just follow the left. When's the last time you heard a conservative say, you know, we should gut federal spending as opposed to just slow down the growth? That's driving the speed limit.
Yeah, see, I always picture those guys being almost like the neocon guys. Like conservatism, I picture like Crowder and those guys are more just, let's get back to the very, very original Constitution, which at the time was progressive, but that, like conserving that is small government, high personal accountability, stuff like that.
That's a lie. That's never happened. I mean, would they want to abolish the Fed? Do they want to abolish the income tax? Do they want to abolish direct election of senators? Do they want to abolish the Civil Rights Act? Do they want to abolish
birth yeah, citizenship? Right? They don't want to abolish that? Like,
no,
my friends all do.
What's that?
My friends do.
Well, I don't think I can't speak for Crowder. I don't know him at all. But I mean, a lot of these others would say hell no. So the thing is, leftists, what leftists do, and this is fair, they look at history and they cherry pick. They go, okay, I like a lot of this, but I want to tweak it. Conservatives do too. It's just at that point, it's just haggling.
So in an anarchy, who builds the roads? No, I'm just kidding. do you hate that question?
No, I love it because the answer is who will build the stairs.
I'm trying to picture that. You mean like stairs in your house?
Yeah.
Right. You just contract it.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I can see it working, but I don't always see it though. I just. It's almost like I'm 50-50 on that. Like I like to describe myself as a libertarian as far as government's interaction in our lives, but with conservative values at home, where it's like, because I don't think the government should be allowed to legislate anything social or, you know, like giving them the ability of making weed illegal, which is sometimes a conservative push, I think is a horrifying idea that if you don't want to smoke weed or you don't want your kids to smoke weed, that's something you have to make that decision in your own home. And like, that's a lot harder than big daddy government coming in. And I think that's kind of the pussy way out that the left and some of the right kind of do, where they say, well, I'm just going to get cops to stop my kids. And it's like, well, how about you just raise them with different morality, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the question is, like, if you go to any hotel, there's going to be a road going from the road to the hotel, right? So every business is going to do whatever it can. Every homeowner is going to want a road directly to their home so they can get packages and then they can leave their house and go places. So there's absolutely no necessary mechanism for the government to build the road. And the government doesn't build the road now. The government just finances the road. It's still construction companies.
Yeah, and someone who's had government jobs, it's a joke. It literally is like they pay you to do nothing.
But it's also like if you have a hotel, I mean, they're not going to have elevators. Elevators are just vertical roads going from floor to floor. And this is the exact same principle.
But if let's say you like, who's going to profit? Like who's in whose best interest is it to have a road from like Cincinnati to New York? That's not within one ownership. You know what I mean? Like
companies.
What's that?
Trucking companies, UPS. I mean, UPS, I mean, there's just an infinite amount of car companies. I mean, there's a huge, I don't know about Cincinnati, because I can make a cheap joke about Cincinnati. but the point is, I mean, pigs can make roads.
What are you trying to say, bro?
I don't know. What's the stance on bears versus pigs? Is this like an Animal Farm thing?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, but bears have no problem with pigs. So what else do you want to tell the people? I can let you go in a second. I got to drive to Burlington. I'm doing shows all weekend in Burlington, Vermont. I'm going to stock up maple syrup. Hang on, what we got here? Hey, Owen, Baron S. Thompson here. Could some of the Unbearables check out my videos? I'm trying to get 100 subscribers by my birthday in March. Yes, there. Check them out. Baron S. Thompson. Nice. Ragnarok. How much of a threat are current mega corporations like Alphabet owns Google in relation to the current world situation? They are self-purging ideologies and have enough money, they're almost movie villains.
So if you look back at, if I'm guessing this is a young person, every 5 or 6 years there's a new company that's the villain that's going to destroy us all. I remember it was Starbucks, it was The Gap, it was Microsoft because they had Internet Explorer, it was ITT during the 70s. This is just during my lifetime. There's a slew of others that they're taking over. They're everywhere, and it's not. I consider there's a lot of collusion maybe between Alphabet and the government. But I don't think they're anywhere near as big a threat as democracy and the state.
Wow. How is democracy a threat? Explain that one.
Because if you're sitting down, if we're sitting down discussing your rights and we all have an equal voice, what are you, one person out of a million in terms of your person and your property? That's psychotic.
Whoa. That's scary. This is all out of my league. Like my expertise is more interpersonal, and that's why sometimes I can get involved in political discussions, because when the government impedes on my jokes, that's when I get a little political. But I truly don't have any answers to any of this, and that's why, like, when it comes to some of these conversations, I don't know enough about it. Like, when I read books on all this stuff, I'm looking at the human element of it, and that's what I'm really good at. But I don't understand policy decisions. I don't even know how Washington works, to tell you the truth. I don't even know if they do it anymore.
What do you mean anymore? See, that's the myth. It used to be good, now it's bad. No, it was never good.
Well, I think the welfare state was a major change. I think that that's what made people change their view on immigration, like, completely. Rather than not, like, someone, it's like trying out for the Yankees. Back in the day, like, yeah, try out for the Yankees. If you can hit 90 home runs, welcome. If not, get the fuck out. And now it's like, well, if they're brown, they get 35 home runs when they come. And you're like, fuck those guys. You know, when there's – go ahead.
But at the same time as the welfare state, you saw the abolition of the draft. And the draft is just absolutely insane. The idea the government's like, oh, we're just going to send you, like, to Asia, and you're going to try to kill people or not be killed because you're a young guy. It's like, no, thank you.
What if we only send Lester Holt? Do you think that guy's a robot? Doesn't he kind of look like a robot? He almost looks like the black version of what's that guy, Justin Trudeau, where they just look like someone just turns them on in the morning and they're like, meh, meh, meh. I don't know. Yeah. I can't explain it. There's a weird look in their face that isn't real.
There's a soullessness there.
Yeah, there is. All right, so where can people check you out? That was a great conversation. We just did a hard 45 with the malice.
I'm Michael Malice on Twitter, and I hope you guys, I know a lot of your fans and read the book, so it's really appreciated. Obviously, we interact a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, and I consider you a friend. I don't know if you consider me a friend, but either way, I consider you a friend.
Absolutely. We're twins.
We are. All right, later, buddy. Have a great day.
Take care, Owen.
Peace. All right, sweet. That was Malice. I'm glad I got to introduce you guys to Michael Malice. There we go. I'm going to talk to you guys for about 10, and then I'm out of here. I'm really digging the ability of chatting with people on this thing. I mean, how fun is that? All right, now I'll read. Make sure I get to all the super chats. Owen, would you do interview sketch show like Crowder? Yeah, I'm working on that now. I'm trying to get a team/crew together in my town to do that. All right, Surf Bear, I want in. Welcome, Surf Bear. Steven Harris. Hey, Big Bear, can I be Fungi Bear? You're the greatest. You're the greatest. Welcome, Fungi Bear. Okay, Beck Bear, be careful of those profiting from bigotry and hysteria. There's a lot of money being made and power being gained by stoking the fires of hate these days. Yes, but at the same time, there's also profit and power of people making it seem like rational fear is hate. Like that this trans kid phenomenon is hate. That is not, it's a little of both. Where there's people that are kind of stoking the fires, but there's also people that are like not acknowledging fires. All right, that's all super chats. Let's talk to you guys for a second up top. Can I be Skater Bear? Welcome, Skater Bear. Hey, Big Bear, can I be Steely Bear? Of course. Yeah, normalizing insanity is not Malice's intelligent respect. Yeah, I can't wrap my head around full anarchy. Straight up. I just can't. I'm a little more meat and potatoes than some of these dudes, but I like the way Malice and Stefan Molyneux view individuals. You know, the non-aggression treaty, non-aggression principles and all that. But I can't fathom a governmentless world. But I appreciate that they exist and they're talking. But I can't fully maybe it's a limit of my intelligence. But if I'm not smart enough to get it, I really think it would be a tough sell for society. Because I think I'm on the plus side of the curve. Ragnarok, I forgot to ask him about Starship Trooper Democracy. Oh, yeah, it's all right. Rich Ben, anarchists are fucking retarded. Malice is not a communist. Not even close. Anarchy is no rulers, not no rules. Malinu has a lot of video. I know. Trust me. I've dove down these rabbit holes hard. I can't fathom it. It's like there will always be someone who takes power. It just, I don't see any way around that. It's just human nature shit. It's the same reason I don't buy socialism. There's always going to be someone who tries harder. I just think, I don't know. I just don't get it. I truly don't get it. Hey, Owen. Oh, hey. The only reason it could not work currently is because there is sin in the world. Right. I think that the one, like, anarchy is almost the optimistic version of socialism in a sense, where it's almost like socialism for good-hearted people, where they want pure competition, but there's a lot of people that don't want that because they suck at everything and they're really stupid and they're going to go with someone with a giant club and sword. That's why I think anarchists as people usually are better to hang out with, and they're nicer and they're more respectful and they're more accountable than socialists, because socialism is almost like counting on human degradation and human envy, and anarchy relies on like just this very high level of human ethics. And I don't think either one really works. That's what I think. And I like that anarchists don't judge me. They're still friends with me, you know? I don't agree with them, but I think that, like, they know I'm not lying and I'm a good dude. Hey, Owen, I'm working on making a video of Owen's cover of Modest Mouse. Can someone super chat him and let him know? Oh, I'm just reading it, bud. I'm done with the super chats. I'll be posting it to my YouTube channel. Sorry for the spam. Oh, buddy, I love it. Just DM it to me. Michael O'Shea, can I be attack helicopter? We already had an attack helicopter. I don't know where he went, though. We had a really good it was Helicopter Bear. Did you look up Sam Hyde yet? Not yet. Is he the guy that was writing for MSNBC that got kicked off? So that was Sam something. Anarcho-capitalism is a model. It is useful but not realistic. I think it's a good model to live your life, personally. I can't picture it happening. So the only fact of communism is that it doesn't work. No, communism, of course, doesn't work. Sam Hyde, Million Dollar Extreme. I don't know who that is. Can I be Amputee Bear? Of course. It'd be even funnier if you weren't an amputee. Definitely don't agree with all explanation of conservatism is all. I don't either. But that's fine. Conversations like that is what adult like discussions are. And they used to be, and I want it to come back. What you just witnessed with me and Malice are two people who believe what they're saying, and they're discussing, and they are arguing and debating, and that's what it's supposed to be. I don't see conservatism like that. He does, but that's fine, because he's not lying, and he's not coming from a place of agenda. He's not trying to, like, fuck with our heads. And that's why I think that, Owen, anarchy is far right, same as communism is far left. It's either no government or all government, everything else in the middle. Right. And that's true. Like, what anarchy is actually far right. Nazis are not right wing. In fact, they're left wing. Far right is anarchy. And that, to me, is very tough to wrap my head around. And that can end in a crazy thing as well, just like far left. But I think it's coming from a better place, a better assumption of human beings. Anarchy and social discourse is analogous to capitalism in regards to economic potential. Right. It is circular. I don't think so. I don't think it's circular. I think circular is a myth created by the left. See, that's the thing. I want to talk to Malice more. The dude knows so much shit. He's read every book. It's like crazy. And now he's trying to bulk up. I mean, he's a little dude. But like the whole concept that communism and fascism is a loop, that's designed by the left because they want to distance themselves from Nazis. It isn't. It's the same shit. It's national socialism versus global socialism. Anarchy is rugged individualism in the purest form. Right. That's why I like how they think, because that's how you should live your life. But to say that there should be no government, I don't see how you can put it into practice. There's too many people that just... Show me any population in history that had that. Genghis Khan is probably as close as it comes as a pure meritocracy, because he would conquer a people. And if someone was good at killing him, he would then recruit them, like some of his best generals, like what's that guy's name? Oh man, his best general is a hilarious guy. I can't remember. I used to know his name. But Genghis got him because the guy almost killed Genghis and he really respected it. That is like, that's pure anarchy, you know? And it's very efficient, but it would be hellish to live in that environment. If you're not the absolute best at shooting arrows off a fucking sprinting horse, they might just cut your head off. It's the opposite. Like, socialism promotes the benign. It promotes the garbage, like the below average people. They make them into the heroes. And anarchy promotes the absolute best at everything. And it's like, what does everyone else do? Because you have charity, but that's only because there's still religious people in America. You get rid of charity, you get rid of religion. Anarchy is a death sentence, in my opinion. If someone's just really, really good at something, they would see other human beings as spoilage, you know? If you're like a business owner, it's called spoilage, where it's just waste. And socialism does the same shit to people, except anarchy would promote the ultimate greatness. Like, Genghis Khan is one of the best fighters who's ever lived. Best strategy guys, best politicians. Well, the first person to have, in human history, to have free religion. Because he didn't want religious affiliation to limit his ability of acquiring killers. So it's really interesting. Quebec Bear, the problem with anarchy is poor leadership. Yeah. I love that joke. Anarchy has nothing to do with being the best at something. It has to do with who has the least amount of morals. That's definitely socialism. That's Stalin. That's the race to the bottom. I think anarchy is more the race to the top, where the ultimate, the best at something will get the contracts, but everyone else, there's no real anything. And the government is not a good supplier of safety nets. I don't believe in the welfare state. I don't believe in this expanding government. I don't believe in Social Security. I don't believe in Medicaid and all this shit. These are all Ponzi schemes that will fall apart. We're on fiat currency now that will fall apart. Money has no value in the real world. I'm for these guys with all that shit, but I don't see it working. You know what I'm saying? All right, I gotta go. I just hear my lovely wife and child are here. Exactly right. Is less government. Left is more government. No government leads to chaos. Total government leads to slavery. There has to be a safe place in the middle. Human nature is crazy. Totally. And these arguments are great. Me and Malice don't agree, but that conversation is great. It helps you guys understand what you believe. Because neither one of us are bad people. You know? That's what you can't have no discussion. You know, and the right sometimes can fall victim to that too. Much, 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 much less than the left. But like, if you don't fall lockstep with everything they believe, it's somehow bad. The right is nowhere near what the left does with that. But like, the separator between right and left is what he said. Do you believe some people are better than others? It like things. Like, is there someone who's better at this than someone else? The left will say no. The right will say yes. And that's the dividing line right there. And I'm guessing almost every person here right now is on the right. And so from there, you can have an honest discussion about how you want to live your life and how you want to structure society and all that stuff. But if you're talking to someone who doesn't believe that basic thing, you can't have a discussion. You can't come to any... There's no reason to talk. Because if you think every person is the same... And someone else thinks every person is different and special and good at something and bad at something, and humans are not the same. You can't ever come to any kind of end. And that's kind of what we're doing. All right, so this is my closing song. I'll just let you know, for my hour special that will be taped February 24th in Saranac Lake, the tickets are almost gone. People have been buying the shit out of these. And thank you, by the way, from the bottom of my heart, is Feed the Bear. It's going to go... Feed the bear, feed the bear, deep inside you, feed the bear. And then everyone sings with me, feed the bear. And that's going to be epic, because I think that's the song, because it applies to everybody. Feed your own bear. And I want to ask you guys one last thing before I go. What do you guys think about me putting my last special on YouTube for free for anyone to get? Because a few thousand people bought it for $10. And that pulled me out of a real financial problem. And so out of respect, I've not made it available for anyone that hasn't paid for it. But enough time has passed. that I want to let, I want to know what you guys think as people who have bought it. Do you, because a lot of people have written to me like, please just put it for free for people. It's not for me. I don't care. Someone just said, get paid. I already made what I needed to on that. I just want to put it out for people. It, for me, it's like, is that disrespectful to people who have paid for it or not? Because for me, I don't give a shit. I want more people to just see it. Right now, it's at hugepianist.com. It's 10 bucks. A few thousand people bought it, and I do not want to disrespect those people. But at this point, they've probably watched it a few times, been a while. No, supply and demand, sell copies. Yes, send it, expand your base, drop the price. Hoping you'll make the Tampa. I will buy it. Right, but don't worry about me. I don't care. I just want more people to see it at this point. What do you guys think? Can you pull these people? Give it away. I purchased it. No, they got early access, so it's up to you. Put it out for a short time. I don't need to charge anymore to pay to watch it early. Yeah, maybe monetize on YouTube, meritocracy. It'd be a good promo for the next one. Right, that's what I'm thinking. I think that it's like it promotes the next one. Discount to $5 and then wait and put it out. Well, I think at this point, people buy it to support a lot of times. I think that happened before, and I think a lot of them enjoyed it. Give it away. I purchased it. $4.99. Yeah. Well, it's not about me making money. I don't give a shit. People will still buy it. People will still buy it because they want to. Never put it out. Release a special, 99 cents. Short free clips. I've already done that. I just want to put the whole thing out. I don't know. You guys, comment on this stream. Let me know what you think. Just please don't think about me getting paid. Think about, do you think it's disrespectful for people who bought it? That's all I care about. That's it. Option to purchase. That's a good idea. Exposure is worth it for the Cubs. Yes, yes, no. Upload it in 144p. That's a good idea if I make the quality worse than if you buy it. Yes, it's disrespectful. Okay, then I'm not going to do it. If it's disrespectful, I'm not going to do it to any... If anybody thinks it's disrespectful, I'm not going to do it. Because if you think that... Yeah, it's all good. Bears are good. They don't mind. Not disrespectful. It's not disrespectful. That's one guy. No, fuck that one guy. No, I'm not, though. If someone thinks that, I'm not going to do it, man. It's like... People, like, the fact people bought that special is the reason I didn't have to, like, get a fucking Discover card to buy groceries. So it's like, I need people that bought it to tell me what they think. Put out a Twitter poll. You could lower the price. Give it away. I purchased. Give it away. Everything is free. I don't know. Just let me know. Comment. I got to go. I'm going to Burlington. But I won't put it out if you guys think it's disrespectful. I would never do that to you guys. All right. Much love. Bye, bye, bye. Bye, 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 bye. And then the mugs and all that shit. It's all coming very soon. It should, I think some shit might even be here today, but I'm bailing today and I'm bringing the wife and the little cub and the unborn cub. We like Jack Wolfgang. We also like Wolfgang Jack. There's a few names that we're really throwing around. We like Jack and Wolfgang. Rich Ben made a good point about respecting Amy's grandfather with Jack. I just like Jack Wolf. Jack Wolf is a strong name. So is Wolf Jack. All right, much love.